Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Cembra Money Bank Full Year Results 2015 conference call and live webcast. I'm Sarah, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Robert Oudmayer, CEO, and Mr. Antoine Boublil, CFO of Cembra Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, good morning and welcome to our earnings call 2015. I'm here together with Antoine Boublil, our CFO, and also Volker Glowy, our Chief Risk Officer, is present on the call. We do it the usual way. We run you through a couple of pages, and we are really happy to answer all your questions. So let me start with the highlights of 2015. It's no surprise to you that the interest rates are at historically low levels. You know that, and you also know that S&P is charging negative rates. We haven't received the final growth numbers from the Swiss economy. It's expecting below 1%. I think at beginning of March we'll have them. Exports are challenged. Consumer spending is holding pretty well. And the general expectation is of 0.7-0.8% GDP growth over 15. If you look at our financials, we are pretty proud of a very strong financials, the best result in the bank's history, with an income of 145 million or 5.04 a share, with EPS up 8% versus 2014. Financing receivables were flat. We talk a bit more in a minute, but cards performance was very strong, very good. Personal loans was a tough year for us, and auto was quite stable. Very disciplined cost management, cost income ratio of 41.5%, so even better than in 2014, was one of the drivers of a very strong result as well, with a return on average equity of 17.7%. If you look at operational, I think one of the biggest projects that we ever done is the IT separation from GE, has successfully been completed in Q4 15, exactly in the 2-year time frame and exactly in budget. Deposits, very strong growth, 16% or more than 300 million. Retail up 33% and institutional up 8%. We paid down a lot of GE capital loan funding, 200 million plus 100 million backup line in January 16, and we expect fully repayment in 2016. Loss performance, very stable and strong. Delinquencies, very stable. NPL at 0.4% and a loss rate of 1.06. Proposed cash dividend of 3.35 per share, which is 8% more than 2014, to be paid out of reserve from capital contribution and free of Swiss holding tax. And then a Tier 1 capital of 90.8%, which resulted in excess capital of 66 million until December 2015. On the next page, I want to give you a bit more of a flavor about the product lines. The first about personal loans. Personal loans continue to decline slightly in 2015. It was not an easy market. We lost a bit of market share, so our receivables were down 4%. We were up a bit in 14, down a bit in 15, so overall in 24 months quite stable. But what we have been trying to do, and we have been successfully doing, was maintain the pricing. So the yield has been very stable in 2015. We have the new interest rate cap introduced the 1st July 2016. I'll talk a bit more about it on the next page. So we are quite positive about this market. We will continue to be a leading player in the market, in a tough market space, but, you know, very strong performance there. If you look at auto, a lot of people started to buy new cars with the removal of the pack in January 15. So strong new car demand in the first 3-4 months of last year, which ended up with 7% more new car sales in 2015. We maintained our pricing quite strongly in the first half, so we lost a little bit of market share in the new cars because there was some aggressive pricing from captives. But we had a very strong performance on the used car market, and there we gained share. So overall, very stable year for us with very stable receivables. Also yield there quite stable. Car market, my expectation is it will normalize in 2016. If you look at the historical levels of new cars, it's about 300,000 cars in the Swiss market, and we assume it will stabilize again in 2016. Credit cards, very good story. The market went up 3%. We went up 8%, so we are now at 655,000 cards. Assets up 11%, fees up 18%, so very strong performance. NFC growth was very, very strong as well, 33%. And the Cumulus MasterCard was rated best in class in several peer analyses, so still a very, very, very strong value proposition and card. If you move to the next page to the business update, as you all know, the new interest rate caps are put in place. They will be effective 1st of July 2016, 10% for personal loans and 12% for credit cards. We've planned some measures to mitigate the financial consequences. Don't look at us as a revolution bank. We are an evolution bank, so we do things step by step. We're looking at productivity. We're looking at cost. We're looking at risk improvements there as well. We have some time to mitigate some of the consequences. We have an expected EPS impact of minus 10% when fully phased in over the next 36 months, if everything should stay the same. That's what we try to be very clear in our communication. Other changes, the cool-off period extended from 7 days to 14 days doesn't impact us a lot, honestly. And also the ban of aggressive advertising is, in my view, a positive for us because we have never been very aggressive in advertising, and some of the other players probably have to adapt a bit of their advertising. Two words on the civil litigation. Everybody remembers the agent case. The Zurich Commercial Court fully rejected the claim by this agent in December 15. He still can go to appeal to the Federal Supreme Court, but it was a good outcome for us. If you look at the at our development, a few words before I give it over to Antoine to talk a bit more about the numbers. GE separation, GE sold, as you know, the 35.1% share in May 15. The IT transformation is completely successfully executed in Q4 2015, so we are done with this whole transformation. It was a big project for us, 2 years, but it was done on time and it was done basically on budget. The funding was reduced from GE from 500 million to 100 million in January 2016. We are now completely separated from GE. We have a better and upgraded IT landscape. We continue to benefit from lower cost of funds because GE was the most expensive cost of funds for us. We also benefit from the low rate environment, and the cost of risk has been very, very stable in a quite volatile environment. So with that, I'm handing over to Antoine to talk a bit about the balance sheet.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I'll start with our balance sheet as of December compared to last year end. Our cash balance reached 572 million Swiss franc in December. You know, we've used a portion of that in January to continue to prepay our GE term loan for about 150 million. On financing receivable, we ended the year slightly below 2014. We've seen continued growth in credit card up 11%, including some end of the year seasonal repayment, which lowered the balance. At the same time, our P-loan asset declined close to 4% in a challenging environment driven by lower agent volume. Our auto asset remained flat in a market mostly driven by new car sales and captive promotion. Moving on to the liability side, on funding, we've seen continuous growth and strong growth in our deposits, which are overall up 16%, with institutional up 8% and retail up 33%. Deposits constitute now 59% of our total funding mix. You know, if you look at our GE funding, it was reclassified as long-term debt versus due to affiliates in the past after GE had sold its remaining stake in Chambra in May 2015. In January 16, as I mentioned before, we had a subsequent event with a further reduction of our GE term funding by 150 million. So our GE term funding now stands at only 100 million. Our equity was 799 million, down 43 million. Impacted by 93 million dividend payments last year, our share buyback of 100 million we did in May, and OCI movement related to pension of about 10 million. This was partially offset by 15.5 million of tax goodwill nominal benefits recognized in additional paid-in capital, and the 145 million of full-year earnings recognized in retained earnings. The pension movement in OCI is driven by a further reduction in our discount rate, considering the low-rate environment, and a lower expected rate of return on our pension assets. This will have an impact on the projected pension cost in 2016, which I will comment on the OPEX page later on this presentation. On the next page, you know, we concluded a great year in terms of funding. Our standalone funding was 93% at year-end, and even 97% if you include the January 16 early repayment of the 150 million of GE funding. Our overall cost of funding reached a record low of 82 basis points, a 26 basis point improvement versus December 2014. We've seen remarkable growth on retail deposits, up $200 million or 33%. Now, as mentioned before, we see retail deposits as an important source of stable funding in the future, and we are very pleased with the progress we made there. On institutional, we grew $106 million or 8%, and we've been able to continue to diversify our counterparties, and we extended our duration at favorable terms. Overall, our deposit funding rates improved by 12 basis points year over year to about 68 basis points. On bank loans, we have continued to reorganize our funding and the commitment from our various counterparties, and our drawn funding there went from $550 million in 2014 to $300 million as of December 2015. We also added new backup line, and they now reach $350 million excluding GE Capital and $450 million including GE Capital, you know, as of February 2016. The weighted average rate on both our drawn and undrawn facilities amounts to 81 basis points. We've also been active on the capital market in the second half of 2015 with a new unsecured senior unsecured bond of $175 million, six-year duration, which came in at a coupon of just 50 basis points. Finally, to recap on the GE Capital funding, there is $100 million term loan and $100 million backup line remaining as of today, and Chambra will contemplate the full repayment and cancellation of those facilities in 2016, well ahead of schedule. So overall, we've executed well so far on our strategy to diversify our funding sources post-IPO, extend the maturity of our debt while lowering the overall cost of funding. Moving on to the next page on the P&L, our net interest income was up $1 million, driven mostly by significant improvement on our interest expenses as we continue to adapt our funding mix and reprice our liabilities. On the interest income line, we incurred a $2 million SNB charge on our cash held at the central bank. This was partly offset by $1.5 million interest received from Swiss tax authorities in connection with a tax overpayment that occurred in prior period. Operationally, interest income was down $3 million year over year, as pressure on Pillon and Auto was only partially offset by credit card growth. Our commission and fee income was up 11%, driven by credit card fee up 18%, while insurance and other fees were broadly offsetting each other. So overall, our revenue were up 2% year over year. Our provision for losses were up $2.7 million, which corresponds to a loss rate of 1.06%, which is slightly above our guidance of 1%, and was driven by lower asset at year-end. Our OPEX was flat year over year, as increase in CNB was offset by a reduction in TSA and professional services. So overall, our net income was $145 million, which is up 4% compared to last year. Our EPS was up 8%, taking into consideration the impact of the May share buyback on our weighted average share count. And then our return on equity reached 17.7%, well above the medium-term target of 15%. On the next page, I will comment on the interest income by product. On the right side, you can see the split. Personal loan was down 3% at $207.9 million, driven by lower asset base on average. Yield was down 10 basis points at 11.2%, mostly driven by volume. On auto, we're down 3% at $85.4 million, with a yield of 5.1% versus 5.3% a year before, driven by the low rate environment and aggressive rates from captives throughout 2015. On credit card, we were up 15% at $45.7 million, driven by the growth of the portfolio with average assets up 12% year over year, with the yield increasing 10 basis points to 7.7% due to a higher revolve rate. On the next page, our provision for losses were $43.6 million, up $2.7 million versus last year. If we look at it on an adjusted basis, the loss rate was 0.8%. You know, the impact of lower recoveries in 2015 coming from the 2013 debt sale was estimated at $11.4 million. We also now report card transaction fraud losses as part of the loss line, as disclosed in the half-year results of 2015, whereas it was reported in OPEX previously. This represented roughly $1.8 million in our full-year 2015 figures. On delinquencies, we continue to have a very strong performance driven by collection effectiveness. Our 30-plus were stable at 1.8% year-over-year in a pretty consistent way by product, as you can see on the right-hand side. Our NPL ratio was flat at 0.4%. Moving on to operating expense, on the next page, they were basically flat year-over-year at $161.5 million. This, with our revenue growth, enabled us to reach a cost-income ratio of 41.5%, down 100 basis points versus last year. With that said, let me provide you some comments on the respective line items. On CNB, we were 4 million higher than last year, driven by higher pension cost of about 1.7 million, as guided previously, higher incentive and employee benefits for 1.3 million, and slightly higher headcount associated with our IT transition. On pension, we expect an additional 3 million pension cost for 2016 as a result of a lower discount rate and a lower expected rate of return on our pension plan assets. The TSA costs were 2.2 million for the full year. And as we fully completed our IT transition in 2015, we do not expect any cost on that line in 2016. Professional services was down 3.6 million, driven by lower consulting fees. Marketing was 0.9 million higher than last year due to a low base in 14 post our IPO rebranding in late 2013. Postage and stationery was down 1 million as we continue to make progress on our digitization initiatives, with e-service penetration at 70% compared to 60% the year before. On IT costs, the growth has been driven by more IT contractors as we switched to our own infrastructure and came as an offset to our lower TSA cost line. On depreciation, we're up 2 million year over year as several IT projects went live at the end of 14 and throughout 2015. So overall, pretty solid management cost, pretty solid management of our cost base. If we move to the next page on the capital, we ended the year with 733 million of Tier 1 capital, which corresponds to a Tier 1 ratio of 19.8% and represents 66 million excess capital above our defined target of 18%. This is taking into consideration both the 100 million share buyback we've executed in May, which we deduct from our Tier 1 capital, and the positive impact of 15.5 million of tax goodwill nominal benefits, which was associated with that. Our reserve for capital contribution currently stands at 276.5 million as of December 15, and our earmark for future ordinary dividend distribution. As part of the different options, Chambra will continue to evaluate opportunistic bolt-on acquisition in the future. Our EPS was up 8% year over year at 5.04 franc per share, based on the weighted average number of shares outstanding for 2015 of 28.8 million shares. And the board will propose a cash dividend per share payment of 3.35 francs a share at the next General Assembly to be paid out of reserve from capital contribution. And that's it from my side.
Yes, I'd like to thank you, Antoine. I'd like to finalize on the last page. So if you look at the medium term targets, as it grows, I think we missed the target. We don't know what the Swiss GDP is going to be, but we were 0.3% negative due to lower personal loans. Profitability very strong with 17.7%, the Tier 1 at 19.8%, and the payout ratio at 66%. If you look for 16, a couple of guidance there or a couple of outlooks there. First of all, we will continue to optimize our funding strategy and trying to reach 100% standalone funding. We will also continue to adapt on regulatory changes. I'm convinced it will be more in the next 3 to 5 years. We will adapt to this like we have done in the past. We think the cost will be a bit higher than, we don't guide completely with cost, but it will be a bit higher than in 2015. We have pension headwind and we have higher IT running costs, and we will have a partly offset by better digitization. Earnings per share, 480 to 510, and the provision for losses in line with prior year's performance. And with that, I would really leave it open for any questions you have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you've entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Jan Schoeps from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning and many thanks for the presentation and taking my question. I have four questions in total. The first one being on the personal loans, the volume being down 4%. Could you please elaborate a bit why exactly there was such a strong drop? Furthermore, what is the further path here and your expectations? In particular, also when I look at autos, what do you think is the further yield progression here? What have you seen in 2016 so far? Second question on the maximum allowed interest rate. What are the exact measures that you are taking against the impact from that? And when exactly will these measures take place, please? Third question is on the higher IT spend that you're referring to. Why exactly is it higher? My understanding was that with your own IT system, costs should go down, which we have seen this year, but why are you now guiding for higher costs? And then last question, please, on the loan loss provisioning rate. It was very low at 106 basis points. Still, when I look at the adjusted numbers you're showing, it's 0.8% versus 0.6 last year. Could you please elaborate on that? What was the driver here? Why was it higher? Thank you.
That's a lot of questions, but I'll try to answer most of them. So I will answer the question on personal loans and max interest rate. Antoine will speak about the higher IT cost and then loan loss provisions for Volker. But let me start with personal loans. What we're trying to do and we've been successfully doing is maintaining price as much as we could in 2015. So there has been some aggressive competition. There have been aggressive rates in the market. We have not given up any rates, as you can see that in the yield. But that gave us a bit of less volume and a bit less of receivables there. In 2016, look, it's difficult to say what's going to happen because the market is a bit different than it used to be because we have this new interest rate. The rates will go down by definition by the 1st of July when the new rate cap is coming in. So we will go to a 9.9 rate probably. I think what will happen is we will be closer to some of the competitors. So I think that will be a positive on the volume drive. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the agent volume because we cannot afford probably the same level of commissions with these rates. And we'll see how the market is going to react on this one. So I think on the volume side, I'm not so concerned. You will see a lower yield in 2016 on personal loans by definition because the interest rate cap is going to kick in. The max interest rate measures, look, what I already said in the call, we are a business of evolution, not revolution. So I think we've known that we are very stable and consistent and we're taking measures. We are very cost conscious. We are very disciplined in cost. We're not rushing in measures. So we will look at all cost measures we can do. We look at better losses probably. And Volker can talk a little bit about this afterwards. We will look at more digitization. We also should realize that this change of interest rates, this is going to be over the portfolio. So it's not something that you have to do in 2 months' time. You have 1 or 2 years' time to do those things. And look, I've been now 27 years in consumer finance. I've learned that rushing measures is probably not the right thing to do. So we do it very evolutionary and not revolutionary. Antoine, you want to say a few words on the IT spend?
Yes. On IT, the thing I can say without getting into 16 is, you know, if you look at our position at the end of the year in 15, we went through, you know, a significant project in IT. And we obviously have capitalized some of those costs associated with that project. So what that means that, you know, the depreciation line, the run rate there is going to increase. I mean, you have, 4.5 million at the end of 15. We're looking, based on what has been capitalized, we're looking at more something around the 8 million mark, you know, for 15. So you're going to have inflation there. You know, at the same time, obviously, this IT transition has led to, you know, modernizing some of our infrastructure. And, you know, I think what we've said previously or in the past is that, you know, getting a more modern infrastructure, you know, is also helping us from a digitization perspective with productivity. So I think the comment we're making is just on that IT-specific item, but it could have some positive also repercussion in some other lines, but I would not comment further there.
Yeah, I think one of the things also is, I mean, license costs are just higher than we've had with GE, and I think we've told that also before. But now... but a better IT infrastructure, you get a bit more cost. Volker, you want to say a few words about the non-loss provisions?
Yes, a few lines about the reported losses. We report now a loss rate of 1.06, which is 6 basis points above the loss rate from the previous year. But as you mentioned correctly, when we look at the adjusted loss rate, the increase is slightly more prominent. There are a couple of drivers behind. One was already mentioned during the presentation, and that's the fact that the card transaction fraud losses are in 2015 no longer reported on the OPEX line, but on the loss line. So this is one driver behind the change. Another driver is also just the fact that we've been growing the cards portfolio in the past, so we have a bigger book, meaning that we also have to have kind of, we also book bigger losses on this bigger book. It's just kind of the fact of growth and the fact of an aging and getting a book getting more mature. And there is also a third driver behind, which is the aging of the written-off stocks, so the stock of written-off accounts that we have. There also we see an aging as the kind of business grows and continues. And these three elements are basically the driver behind the growth in the adjusted loss rate. But I want to highlight once again that the underlying asset quality, when we look at 30-plus delinquencies, when we look at NPLs, has been very, very stable over time.
Many thanks. Can I please have a follow-up question on the last part? Do I understand it correctly? You said the book of the credit card was bigger, and because of that, you booked more fraud cases, and that coupled, of course, with the first point you say that it's now reported on the LLP line instead of OPEX. Now, what can we expect then going forward for that line item? Is it more than 100 basis points?
To answer the first part of the question, the card transaction fraud losses and the growth of the book and the aging of the cards book in total, they are not interlinked. They are two separate elements. On the one hand, we are talking about the transaction fraud losses. On the other hand, we are talking about the pure credit losses. So again, they are not linked. And it's just a matter of a reality that when we have a growing book and an aging book, that the risk in the book is kind of getting more prominent, more clear, which means that you then also write off some accounts and that you book provisions, loan loss provisions for these accounts. So, but again, it's not linked to the transaction fraud losses. On the second part of your question, when it comes to the guidance of the future, we mentioned that when it comes to the guidance for 16, we expect a loan loss provision that is in line with prior year's performance. One comment to that, because this is also to the comment that Robert made earlier on the max interest rate and the implementation of the max interest rate. Over time, we should expect that the max interest rate actually has a positive impact on the loss line if we look into kind of an isolated picture of this effect. But it will take time, because obviously when we start booking these better losses in the middle of the year, it will take some time until then the loss performance really materializes, driven by this impact.
Many thanks.
The next question is from Flora Benankun from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions on capital, please. The first one is regarding the excess capital at which you intend to run the bank in the future, because I think you have 66 million Swiss francs of excess capital right now. What should we expect for the future? And the second question is regarding the Tier 1 target, which is still 18%. Would you consider changing that target? And if yes, on what would that depend? Thank you.
Yeah, hi, Flora. It's good to have you back on the call as well. I'll take those questions. On the capital side, look, now we have 66 million of excess capital. And if you look where we are as a business, we will try to grow the business a bit, because I think that's important for us. So my preference clearly is to use some of the capital to do some acquisitions. Is it going to materialize, as you know? You never know. We're looking in Switzerland. We're looking at consumer finance or consumer finance related, nothing different than what we did in the past. I think coming out of the whole IT transition also gives you some capacity to look at those things more intense than we did in the past. It's going to be opportunistic, because you never know, but I would really like to use some of the capital to bring some growth back in the business, because I think that's what we need. So that's what we try to do. We also have said that there's no intention to grow a lot more than 20%. We're 19.8. So let's see, you know, what we can do in 2016 on that capital side and the M&A side. The Tier 1 target is a mid-term target. It's 18%. I think we maintain that target for at the moment. That doesn't say that this target is going to be set in stone for the next 5 years, but there's no intention to change the target at the moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Andreas Venditti from Bank Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Most questions have been answered. Just a couple of points here. Looking at the funding side, deposits obviously have been continued to grow, especially on the retail side. Is that kind of a cap you would like to have in terms of keeping, you know, a certain mix or a certain diversification of funding? How far would you go in terms of growing deposits versus other funding sources? Then in terms of credit card business, I think I understand that new credit card partners were not possible to add on to the platform last year due to the IT project. This is done. So could we expect here new partners to be on your platform? And in terms of just a minor one on headcount, you mentioned IT, higher headcount due to IT transition. So does it mean IT transition that the headcount will come down again, or is this now the new level that you need in terms of IT people? Thank you.
Okay, Antoine will answer the funding question. I will do the other two.
So on funding, I think, you know, what we've said in the past, and I just said it again today, is, you know, part of our strategy is to have a good diversification on funding sources, and, you know, that's was the starting point was the IPO, and if you look at today, you know, from the IPO, the only thing left is 100 million of term funding from GE. So I'd say the bank is pretty close to full transition in terms of, you know, its funding mix. Now, if you look at, you know, overall deposit as part of that funding mix, it's about 59%. So, and I think I've said in the past as well that, you know, probably deposit at 60% overall in the funding mix would make sense in order to have a good balance with capital market transactions, both secured and unsecured, but also bank loans, you know, as well. So I would say around the 60% mark, I mean, it's probably where, you know, the optimal mix resides. Now, within that 60%, you know, the split between institutional and retail, you know, that will continue to evolve. I think what we've tried to do as well over the last couple of years is to grow retail, but at the same time, lower our overall cost of funding from deposits, you know, and that was enabled by really competitive pricing we got on the institutional side. So my sense is that on retail, you know, it has further leg to grow, but on institutional, there's also further opportunity to reprice further down. So you're probably going to see a movement between the mix of the two within the overall deposit bucket, but still keeping in mind the good balance on, you know, having a lower cost of funding, but, you know, a good stability there. So I hope that helps, you know, answering your question.
Sure, thank you.
On the credit cards, look, I would love to have new partners there, and I think it's something that we're changing. We're looking for new partners. At the same time, if you look at the number of deals and the number of big retailers that has gone to credit cards in the last 2-3 years, there's not a lot happening. So, yes, we're changing new partners. I think the 12% interest rate cap now, it's not really helping there, because 10% for loans and 12% for cards makes it more interesting for some people to stay in the private label cards as well. There was a pipeline of partners. We're talking to pipelines. Is it going to materialize? Hopefully, because I think we need and we like to have more diversification on the cards. But we have to see. Finally, on the headcount, look, I mean, the headcount will come down slightly again, but not a lot. I think the new reality is somewhere between 700, 710. We need a few more IT resources, because you don't have those IT resources from GE anymore. There were still some people, you know, in GE working for us. So I think that's not the main issue for me, because the cost base is not going to be driven by this. The cost base is driven by more depreciation. And then this is replacing a part of the DSA. So I think headcount, new reality, 700, 710, something like that.
Perfect, thank you. Maybe just one add-on, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. In terms of the outlook, in terms of regulation, you mentioned that you believe there will be more in terms of regulation over the next 3 to 5 years. Could you maybe be a bit more specific there? What would you expect there in terms of new regulation? Thank you.
No, I mean, I cannot be more specific, but if you look at the last 5 years and you look at the whole expectation in the market, regulation is part of our DNA for every bank, not only for ours. I think there will be more regulation. If I would know which regulation, no, I would be probably very smart. I don't know. But I just think in general, you need to adapt as a bank on more regulation moving forward, and you should be very proactive in looking at what's coming, because I'm sure things will come. I don't know what exactly, but things will come more.
Okay, perfect. I agree.
The next question is from Mate Nemes from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for your presentations. I only have one question left on credit cards, really. If you could just let us know how much of the credit card fees is coming from Migros and what your penetration is into the Migros customer base. And secondly, if you could give us some color, what growth rate are you penciling in your business plan for credit cards? What growth rate do you think you can achieve organically and potentially inorganically through partners in the next 2-3 years? Thank you.
Antonio, you want to do the first piece? I'll do the second piece.
I would say broadly, you know, Migros is, you know, between 85 and 90% of the book, you know, on credit cards. So, you know, I think, you know, that's a good proxy in terms of where the credit card fee growth is coming. You know, obviously, we don't disclose, you know, profitability by partner, but that's the proxy you can use.
Yeah, and Mate, on growth rate, look, we never guide on growth rates, but, you know, if you look at historical growth rates, we've always been double digit. I'm not going to tell you exactly what we've picture in our plan, but you will continue to see growth. You know, I think the Migros still has room to improve and still room to grow. We have been doing this for the last 7 or 8 years, and I think we will still grow that portfolio. So I know I'll count on a good growth rate, but I'm not going to give you any exact number here.
Answered. Thank you.
The next question is from Tomasz Grzelak from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first question on the new interest cap. Could you perhaps shed some light on your assumptions regarding the impact of the new interest cap on volumes and on the gross yield for your loans? And what do you think in that field, in the light of the official industry forecast before the introduction of interest cap? I've seen some comments that the market would decline by some 30-35%. What do you think about this forecast? And in this light also, what do you mean by restriction of access to credit cards for some customers due to the risk-based pricing approach applied by Chamber of Money Bank? So what is your expectation on the volume loss here? And the second question is on the Migros partnership with Migros Bank. When exactly this contract ends, and when will you start renegotiating this contract? Thank you.
Okay. I can take those questions, Thomas. So on the new interest rate cap, everybody asks, you know, what's going to be the impact on volume? I think nobody knows. I think logically there will be an impact on volume, because there will be, you will have less people have access to credit because everybody is working with risk-based pricing. The 30% is a number that I don't recognize. So I've never seen it or heard it, so I don't know where it's coming from. But, you know, my guess would be much lower than 30%, but I don't know exactly. The yield, no, we're not commenting on the yield in detail, but the yield will come down in the second half of the year, also mathematically, because you're going to apply a max interest rate of 10%, and our yield is now 11.2, so we will see an effect not drastically in 2016 because the new rates are effective 1st July, but moving forward, that's also the guidance we've given for the 36 months period. On the Migro one, the Migro contract ends in 2018. We're always talking to Migro to renew it. We normally never wait till the last 6 months to renew it. So we're having a discussion with Migro to renew. When that's going to be formalized, I don't know, but we're not waiting until 2018 to renew this one.
Okay, thank you. Very helpful.
The last question is from Tariq El-Mejad from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Very quick question. We focus a lot on cards, but the other parts of the book, which is autos and personal loans, I'm just curious to know what's your expectations for growth there. I mean, your argument was always to grow with GDP, but GDP is not in your control. What's your actions internally to do? I mean, I understand you do marketing and so on, but is there any consolidation in the sector happening that has to happen given the low growth and the overcapacity? Or should we see your portfolio or bank as a good dividend distribution with trying to protect your volumes not to shrink further? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Derek. Just trying to answer it one. First on auto, if you look at auto book over the last 3-4 years, have been very stable. I think that's also the expectation for this year, that we maintain this very stable. You have the captives. It's always the question, how aggressive are they going to be to sell cars? Last year, they were quite aggressive in the first 4 months, and then they were less aggressive in the remainder of the year. I don't know. I know we're having the Geneva car show starting in a couple of days' time. I haven't seen completely aggressive rates so far in the market, but things could happen. But I think overall, if you look at our book there, it'd be very stable. I mean, it's going to be remain very stable there. Is there any consolidation needed there? It's difficult to say because auto book normally has this captive. They have not only interest in the volume of leasing, but they also have an interest in selling cars. So I don't think they will consolidate a lot. On the personal loan side, that's the big question about what's going to happen with the market, first of all. We don't know. Nobody knows, honestly. I don't think 30% is a really realistic number, but normally the market should go down a little bit this year. Is there any consolidation there? I'm not sure. You know, I don't know what the strategy is from some of our competitors. We have to reduce our prices by the 1st of July. I think we will see probably some better volumes in our direct business, our own business, and probably some less volumes in our agent business, but I expect. What is it going to be do for total on the volume side? It's a volatile world at the moment, and it's difficult to predict that. So I can't really give you any flavor there because we don't know what's going to happen in the second half of the year.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Jan Schoops from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Thanks. I have one question left. You write in your press release on measures mitigating the impact from the low interest rate cap that you're working on other business initiatives. How shall we understand this?
This is the fifth question, but I'm happy to answer it, Jean-Thomas. I think other business initiatives is, I think what we like to stay in consumer finance, but I mean, there are things you can do in consumer finance. Now, we spoke about SME in the past. I think SME is not probably the biggest thing to go on right now. There is retail financers, there's online financing. So I think what we're trying to do is to find ways to generate more new customers, which also can be beneficial for our auto loan book, our credit card book, and our personal loan book. And there are several initiatives that we're working on. They're not going to be in detail here, but we're trying to grow in general the business, and that's probably one of the things that we're trying to do with this. This is not a perfect answer, I know, but I mean, this is the best answer I can give you so far.
Okay, but your goal would be to remain in consumer finance, or would you think, for instance, to go into, I don't know, mortgages or whatsoever?
Well, mortgage is not my preference, I can tell you. But I think the goal is to stay in Switzerland, stay in consumer finance or products related to consumer finance. So if there are any other products that should be beneficial for the consumer finance business as well, we're not going to diversify completely and do something completely different in the market.
Great. Many thanks.
Okay. I think we're done. I would thank everybody for listening in to the call. Thank you for being here, and hopefully we could answer your questions quite well. And with that, everybody, thank you, and hope to speak to everybody very soon. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.